Good morning, church.
What
a blessing it is to be here in the house of the Lord worshiping with you today. Although Thanksgiving probably looked a lot different to most of us this year, I'm sure you all managed to still get your fill and enjoy some family traditions. My favorite and my family is Thanksgiving morning. We get up and we go on a rabbit hunt and go out and enjoy God's creation. And very rarely do we come home empty-handed with plenty of rabbit to make a nice rabbit pie for that evening. And my mom knows how to make some very good rabbit pie, let me tell you. This week we transition from a season of harvest and thankfulness for how the Lord has provided. And we transition over to a season of preparation. The season of Advent is a time of preparation to celebrate how our Messiah has come and now and yet and he'll come again. These traditions and holidays we take part in are very good because they help a forgetful people, as we are, to remember the promises that we've been given. And when we remember these promises, we're given hope. And what we hope for shapes what we live for. Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day you've given us. Thank you for your promises, the hope we have in you. And we ask that you would bless this time together and bless the words that Steve has prepared for us today. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
I'm reading first from Psalm 80, 1 through 7 and 15 through 17. Hear us, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might. Come and save us. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. O Lord God Almighty, how long will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us a source of contention to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, O God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. Watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted, the son you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down, it is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man you have raised up for yourself. Next, I'll read from Mark 13, 24 through 37. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, or even not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch.
So how many countdowns are taking place right now? We mark it by holidays in some ways. We've come through Thanksgiving. We've had Black Friday. Small Store Saturday. Let's see, tomorrow's Cyber Monday, Giving Tuesday. There's a lot of stuff going on, isn't there? And they're all counting down different things, if you think about it. If we think about Thanksgiving, that's sort of a time of the year. It's so short, though, because we move into Christmas, and Christmas moves into the first of the year. In many ways, as we're recognizing the close of the harvest season with Thanksgiving and what we're thankful for and that, we're also thinking about a coming year. And we are all praying for a year much better than the year we've just come through with all the things that have taken place. I can't imagine. I had no idea we'd be 9 months into this pandemic, and my goodness, there's, you know, it looks like it's going to carry on for a while. But that's only one of those things. We also recognize this with Black Friday and all those shopping days, that there's this countdown coming or focused on our a gift giving that we as Christians tend to do as nuclear families. We either do it. Okay, well, I think we're all right. But we tend to do this, we tend as families to either, you know, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. And if, when we start to think about larger family gatherings, they can take place. I've heard of family Christmases, extended family Christmases, taking place anytime from November through February, just trying to find that time when everybody can get together. But this year, when is that going to take place? And then we come to Advent, another time, another calendar, another countdown taking place. We know that there's only four Sundays in Advent, that the center candle is the Christ candle, and on Christmas Eve, we typically will light that here, but expect that our Christmas Eve service this year will be online so that people at home can, so all of us at home can observe it there and not be brought together because, you know, we typically, you know, hold candles and hold hands, and my goodness, we just, with all that's going on, doesn't seem likely. But with each one of these countdowns, we're recognizing that there is some preparation that's needed. We need to be ready. Readiness is the theme for today. And what does it mean to be ready? Don't we have to prepare to get ready? There's even some pre-steps to be ready. You know, for those folks that come from down south, when they hear that a hurricane is coming, they know that they have to do certain things to be ready for the hurricane. There are certain things that we are preparing for. We look at all these things of what it means to get ready for the event. We, you know, all the shopping days till to gather our gifts together so we're ready for that gift-giving celebration that we do at Christmas. All these things come together in interesting ways. And if we look at it and think about it, one of the things we're getting ready for is the preparation for Christmas. The preparation with the Advent candles, the Christ candle, we are preparing ourselves to celebrate the coming of the Messiah, who came to earth, who lived, who taught, who cared for all, who gave up his life for us all, raised from the dead, now sitting in heaven. We prepare recognizing that Christmas is sort of the launch of God's great plan of being with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And so it's good to not just have the gifts, but there's some other kinds of preparations that we need to do spiritually to be ready for Christmas. And it's interesting that we also recognize that when we are preparing for Christmas, what God did in sending Jesus to be among us, Jesus is also going to return. And so these two things are well to be prepared for. It is good to prepare for them. And in Mark 13, we have Jesus' own instructions to us about being prepared for his return. When we go look at the whole of chapter 13 of Mark, there's just a whole bunch of stuff. Sorry about that, folks. Let's
this mic. See if we can get out of that. So when we go look at the first chapter, now we're not getting that mic. Hello? Okay. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Okay. When we go to look at chapter 13 of Jesus' instructions to the believers on his return, notice that there's just some preparation that needs to be done. First of all, Jesus tells about the destruction of the temple that was coming. 76 AD, that indeed happened. But he doesn't, even Jesus doesn't give precise timing about it. Next, he tells about the persecution that's going to come to the Christians, followed then with the next scene where Jesus gives a report or uses language that makes us, because if we're connected to the Old Testament, goes all the way back to the book of Daniel. And it talks about an abomination of sacrilege. And then we need to be ready for his return. But several things to note. Even though the countdown is on, we don't know if we're at 100 going to 99 or 10 going to 9 or 1 going to 0. And yet Jesus wants us to be ready. Jesus doesn't know the time. And even the lesson of the fig tree is not to be focused on the timing of what is going to happen, but for us to be aware and prepared for what is to happen. For no one knows the time, not even Jesus. But clearly, the countdown is on. And then there are three words of counsel for us about being prepared. Beware, keep alert, keep awake. And these three things are preparation to be ready. Beware is that interesting warning to recognize that the world is filled with signs and wonders coming from everywhere. There are signs and wonders that even Satan wants to distract us with. And there's signs and wonders that are coming from God. And so we need to beware. We need to be discerning about what is going on around us. Not everything we hear on TV or see on the internet or told to us by others, all of that is not the gospel truth. We need to be able, through discernment, to weed out what is the Word of God, the message of God, what is coming from Jesus Christ, and what is not. This comes, and this is to be found in all kinds of information around us, whether it's current events, our own spiritual walk, the politics that are around us, the science that's going on. All of this needs our discernment, because we live in a very polarized time. You're either for me or against me. And yet, the question isn't, are you for or against me? The question ultimately is, are we for or against God? Are we for or against what Jesus is about? And so we need to navigate around through all the stuff that's floating around and be able to discern what is going on that is being driven, encouraged, energized by the truth of God in our world. And so, in some ways, when it comes to recognizing how we discern things, they talk about how we can develop our own little echo chamber where, because of our ability to take so many different sources of information around now, we can narrow down to the one or the few sources that we agree with. But that can be deceptive. Do we know from beginning to end the heart of Jesus in all things? I remember when I was a kid growing up, there were just three sources of news on the television. But they were, honestly, they were skewed. And my grandfather didn't really trust what was on TV. He had his newspaper. And he didn't have just one newspaper, he had two. He knew that the morning paper in Elkhart, Indiana, at that time, the morning paper was the conservative paper. And then the afternoon paper was the progressive paper, and he read both. Anyway, everything needs to be evaluated. We need to be on our watch. We need to be wary. Wary. Be aware. Recognizing not only that everything coming to us has a bias, we always have our own bias. And honestly, our own personal bias, without the intervention of God into our own lives, our own personal bias is selfish. And we have to be aware even of our own bias in the midst of what's going on. Jesus gives us the word, beware. Next comes the word, keep alert. Now, I'm going to suggest that this is the attention to the changes that are taking place around us. We live in a time not just of change, but we're living in a time with change upon change. Sometimes I saw it graphed out, and for all you math nerds out there, it's an exponential curve going straight up. We came in a time when I was a kid growing up, it was pretty flat. Well, it was pretty a flat slope moving up, but now there is change upon change, and we need to be conscious of that. For change is neither good nor bad, and it is good or bad all at the same time. It's all mixed up. So we must be able to judge, to look at the changes going on in our world and be able to evaluate them. Now, there's some things in our world that are constant. We can name them. There's things in our world that's constant. There's gravity. You know, every reaction has an equal and opposite reaction. That also that God does not change. And so we are working with all the changes that are taking place, and we need to know what is solid, which is factual, and what are just factors. You know, we can say, you know, the ground is, I'm standing here because of gravity. I'm not floating up in space. That is fact. It's a factor, though, of the shoes that I've chosen to wear on my feet today. Two different things. We need to be looking at our world and making the evaluation, is this a fact or is this just a factor of life? We need to be separating these things. Because if we confuse the changes that are taking place, and we don't recognize what is constant, what is solid, what is, dare I say, permanent in our world, we can be swept away by the changes. That changes that take place in even the way we worship. Whether, you know, I go back, and so I'm soon to be 67. But I remember, as a kid growing up, that the church that I grew up in did not even have an organ or a piano. And everything was done a cappella, in singing. And I saw all of that change. So that by the time I graduated from high school, we had a piano, we had an organ, and people would play with guitars in our worship services. And all of a sudden, the music that we were singing from got larger and larger and larger. The amount of music that we can draw on now here in church has gotten exponentially large. But we need to be aware of and thinking of what it is that remains permanent. Is the message about Jesus still in the words we sing? Does it keep our eye upon the one we claim as Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? With the changes taking place, our focus needs to be constant on Jesus. And the last one, keep awake. And I'm going to suggest that means not losing the sense of anticipation. If we as Christians lose that sense of Christ's return, anticipating his return, how does that change the way we operate? Doesn't it change the way we look at those our friends that are not a part of churches anywhere? If we look at our friends out there and we're not anticipating Christ's return, we can become pretty lackadaisical in being honest with our faith with them. If there's a timelessness now, that there isn't a countdown going on, if we're not anticipating the return of Christ, the people we know who do not know Christ can just go on their merry way. Maybe somebody else will share faith with them on down the line. We lose that sense of immediacy. We can lose the concern that we have for the world to know that Jesus is coming back, that Jesus is the answer, that by faith in Jesus, there is purpose in this world here and now. Also, when we lose that sense of anticipation, we can easily get lost in the tasks of the day here and now. What am I going to do tomorrow? There are things that I need to do tomorrow. There's going to work. There's those kinds of things. We can get our lives so focused on the stuff of life, the everyday kinds of things, that we lose our focus, that what we're doing now should have meaning and purpose for the end of the countdown, when the clock goes to zero and Christ returns. This Sunday, a Sunday in Advent for readiness, means that we have our eye on not only on what is to come, not only our celebration of Christ coming to this world, but also the understanding and knowledge that Christ is coming back again. And do we have that sense of urgency with purpose and meaning and focus of what we're doing now is looking at and being ready for what is to come? Are we ready? Are we prepared for what is coming? And so the countdown is on. We recognize it. And we have to ask the questions, as I already have. Are we ready? And we can internalize it even further, where we, each one of us says, questions ourselves, am I ready? Am I ready to, with great abandon, celebrate the coming of the Savior to the world, a Savior that means something to me because he's touched my life? And am I in anticipation of his return? Am I wary? Am I discerning what's going on? Am I alert? Am I noticing the changes that are going on and recognizing what is permanent and what is not? Am I awake? Am I keeping awake? Is there in me a spirit of anticipation? These are the things that we start off with in our march towards Christmas and that celebration. Is there a tingle in our souls? A joy to behold? An alertness, on the edge, how much are we on the edge of our toes that Jesus could return before all five candles are lit? It's closer now than it's ever been. We've been 2,000 years in waiting. So we know it's closer yet coming. Let us prepare to be ready in all things. Amen. Oh, now to stand.
can I say?
We live with anticipation of all kinds of things. The farmer watches the fields during the winter, anticipating spring. Seed is bought. Equipment is looked at. Things are prepared for what is to come. In many ways, that's our whole lives. I hope among and in the midst of it all, you're aware that Christ is coming back and that there's just always some tingle there. So stand up for the sending. And children, when I'm done, you can go downstairs with your teachers for Sunday school. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the countdown is on. And Christ is returning. And we will also celebrate that great day when he came to earth as a baby. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace and go with a tingle. Amen.